You're listening to KXRY Portland, 91.1 FM, 107.1 FM.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Control Voltage, a music instrument store located on Mississippi Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Specializing in modular, analog, and digital synthesizers, drum machines, MIDI controllers, and a selection of vintage instruments and devices, Control Voltage offers a hands-on approach to finding the right gear. Control Voltage, a place for electronic musicians to discover their sound. More information at controlvoltage.net.
You're listening to KXRY Portland, 91.1 FM, 107.1 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
X-Ray.
Welcome to The Common Good, where we showcase the collective achievements of all that contributes to a positive and well-informed community. I'm your host, Joe Clemens. On the program today, we're grateful to have Linda Garcia. Linda is the Executive Director for Community Roots Collaborative. Also known as C-Roots, Linda will tell us about her organization's project to build a community of tiny homes to help those who are unhoused and blend them with folks who want to downsize and at the same time help others. This is such a great idea, and you won't want to miss my conversation with Linda today to learn more about this program. The rest of our show today is dedicated to two events that we covered and roamed around with a microphone. And while we roamed around, we asked people what they want to hear on local community radio. Earlier this summer, we visited the new and exciting Connect Fest, which is hosted by Impact for Women Northwest. It was held at Heathen Estate, and we had a great time connecting and getting to know other members of the community and what they want to hear from us on the radio. And just a few weeks ago, the team gathered to run a booth at the Peace and Justice Fair at Esther Short Park in downtown Vancouver. People came by and told us what the Peace and Justice Fair meant to them personally and what they want to hear from their radio station. As you can see, we've got a lot of common good to cover today, so let's get started. Most of us don't think twice about making dinner in our kitchen, or washing our face and brushing our teeth before going to sleep, sleeping in a warm, comfortable bed with a roof over our heads. In our own community, though, there are many who do think about this, because for them, those experiences are luxuries they don't have. I'm talking about those in our community who are unsheltered and live outside. In a recent March 2017 article in the Columbian, it was reported that those unsheltered in Clark County rose a staggering 18% in just 1 year. And what's even more concerning, these numbers are considered very conservative and could in fact be even higher. The good news is there is a nonprofit organization here in Clark County working on a possible solution for this problem. Community Roots Collaborative, or C-Roots as they like to go by, self-described their mission as reintegrating the unhoused into blended Clark County communities through permanent tiny home neighborhoods and integrated services. I'm honored to welcome to the program today Linda Garcia, Executive Director of Community Roots Collaborative. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you very much for having me today.
So we're here in beautiful Sculpture Park in downtown Vancouver. So before we get into this, I understand there's a, for your organization, there's a special connection to this park.
Yes, there is. It's actually where the roots for Community Roots, so to speak, began.
Let's talk about Community Roots Collaborative. What is Community Roots Collaborative?
So C-Roots is a new nonprofit we launched earlier this summer, and we are going to be creating and building tiny home villages that are blended and provide integrated services for the residents in these villages.
So Linda, I noticed that we're using specifically today in our conversation the term unhoused and not necessarily homeless. What's the story behind that?
So there's a common thread that says home is where you lay your head. And home to us is not necessarily four walls and a roof. Home to us is where you are at. It's where you're present. It's where your things are. It's where you have what is closest to you, surrounding you. That could be a tent on the street. That could be family and you're couch surfing. That could be your car. It could be under a bridge. Home is where you are. It is not a house. So we like to refer to people who are without a home as unhoused, because they're not necessarily homeless. They do have a home, in their heart, they just don't have the physical building of a house around them.
Community Roots Collaborative goal is to establish a blended community that is made up of tiny homes and people that are considered technically unhoused, and have all that together. I'm curious, so how did this idea get started?
So the president of our board is Hector Hinojosa, and he began Stone Soup a little over 3 years ago, right here in Sculpture Park. And once a month, the last Sunday of every month, we come down here and we serve and give meals to people who are unhoused living on the streets. The difference with us is that we commune with the people as well. These are our brothers and sisters. These are our neighbors who don't have homes, who are unhoused. And so we want to come down here and talk with them and hear their stories. We want to provide them with some support. We want to let them know that somebody loves them.
So it really ties in closely with your mission then for a blended community, because it sounds like that's kind of what you're starting here, is getting to come down and get to know these folks.
Exactly. We took it a little bit further, one step at a time. One of our city council members began a tiny home symposium a few years back, and this was, of course, before Prop 1 passed. This was before permitting and zoning laws started to change around a little bit, and it's before the homeless issue became as prevalent as it is right now. So Hector and myself and a few of the other volunteers involved started attending those sessions, and it kind of broke up a little bit because of those lack of changes. But as things started turning around, Hector kept this piece in his heart, and he picked it up and started asking people what their thoughts were on it and if they would be supportive, and every single person said yes, and that's how we got our start.
So what's the status of your initiative today? Where are you?
So we have applied for our 501c3 nonprofit status. We do have our articles of incorporation, so we are starting to take funding. By the end of the year, we should have that nonprofit status in and be able to have tax-free or something, that a donation that people can write off.
So, Linda, this seems like a pretty unique idea. Has this been proven or done somewhere else?
Certain aspects of it have. Across different parts of the country, there are different villages and communities that have targeted certain populations, such as all homeless, mostly veterans or women or men. Some of those are blended in the sense that those areas are all covered, but they are all still considered homeless or unhoused. So we're coming at this with a very fresh, innovative approach in blending people who are not only unhoused currently, but also people who are looking to downsize, or they can't afford this atrocious rent market that we're looking at and we've been in for the last 18 months to 2 years.
I imagine this takes a lot of people in the community to work together to make this happen. This sounds like a pretty big undertaking. So who are you partnering with to make this happen?
We'll be partnering with multiple larger nonprofit organizations, mostly to help with our integrated services in providing people with those resources. We'll be partnering with some local healthcare companies, some mental health service agencies, looking at different nonprofits that also serve the unhoused here in Clark County as well. We've partnered recently, that I can announce, with Lighthouse Community Credit Union, and they'll be providing some financial education classes as well as entrance counseling for people that are coming into these homes. These homes are not temporary shelter, and they are not rental. They are home ownership. So we're looking at permanent homes. Therefore, people are going to be needing a little bit of extra assistance in the financial area.
When we were walking over here to Sculpture Park, I remember we saw each other this weekend at the Peace and Justice Fair, and you were mentioning that you had a lot of people sign up to be volunteers. What do you anticipate that type of work to look like for those folks?
Over the next several years, it's going to be a changing scene, I believe, every few months. Right now, we're primarily looking for people who are interested in outreach, helping us get the word out, sitting and tabling at things like the Peace and Justice Fair and the different events that we're going to, people to learn more about our organization and to help us get the word out and to help us get visibility If they have contacts through their networks, we'd love to hear about that. We want people to know exactly what it is that we're doing and to help us kind of smooth the way and get us on our path.
You guys have a pretty diverse group of board of directors, lots of different type of people participating. Talk to us a little bit about the diversity of your leadership.
So currently we have a 13-member board of directors, and we have people ranging from physicians to attorneys to land developers, real estate people, people who are stake owners or holders in other nonprofits, people who are very, very active in our community. We do actually have three separate board members who have each experienced homelessness and being unhoused at one time in their life or another, some of them even during their youth. So they can help us speak to those areas. When you've lived it, you have a completely different understanding and scope of the reality of the situation.
What would getting this up and going mean for the region and Clark County?
It would mean getting us one step closer as a community to eliminating or eradicating the homelessness issue here locally. For some people, that might seem like a utopian goal or dream, but if we don't start now and we don't start here with something, the issue will just keep getting more and more severe, and more people will be out on the streets, and more people will get hurt, and more people will die because they don't have the proper shelter or the resources that go along with that shelter.
So we're here in Sculpture Park with Linda Garcia, Executive Director of Community Roots Collaborative, an initiative to reintegrate the unhoused into blended housing. We're going to take a quick break, Linda, and when we come back, let's talk more about what's next for your organization and how folks can help. We'll be right back with more from Linda Garcia, Executive Director for Community Roots Collaborative. You're listening to The Common Good.
Community Radio Like This is brought to you by the generous support of the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation. NWCAVE helps to inform and educate the prevention of violence against women and children. They have a dream, a world without violence. Learn more about how you can help at nwcave.org.
Many thanks to Ruby Ribbon. Ruby Ribbon is your source for shapewear, leggings, skirts, dresses, jackets, and swimsuits that empower women to look and feel their best while going after their dreams. More information available at www.rubyribbon.com/Jody Akers. That's rubyribbon.com/JodyAkers.com or directly at 360-601-3901. Like they say at Ruby Ribbon, bye-bye bra.
You're listening to The Common Good. I'm Joe Clemens. We're here at Sculpture Park in downtown Vancouver with Linda Garcia. Linda is the Executive Director of Community Roots Collaborative, an initiative to reintegrate the unhoused into blended housing, and blended housing using tiny homes. So Linda, before the break, we were talking about what this would mean for Clark County and the region in general. Let's talk a bit about what success looks like to you as the Executive Director.
So I should start with, success to us as Sea Roots does not come in the form of creating our communities or villages. It doesn't even come in the form of getting these homes built for people. Success for us will be having residents placed. It will be getting people off of the streets and out of their cars and out of any type of harmful situation, any environment that isn't necessarily healthy or safe for people. Success for us will be filling these communities with both people who are unhoused and people who are currently housed, and blending them and getting that advocacy and support and their networking started, and helping provide people with the next steps that they're going to be looking at.
So I've heard you today talk a lot about safety and the safety of the folks that are unhoused and trying to get them into a better situation. That's definitely something that I think is commendable for your initiative. You know, and a big component of this is to have a blended community. That's what makes it work. What about those that are worried about being blended?
We've had some questions arise about blending our communities. Mostly when we answer, people's minds are changed. When we take people who are unhoused, they might not necessarily remember the rules of living around other people. They might not know the rules. They may have been on the streets since they were young children with their parents, or whatever situation may have occurred. When we get them into our communities, the people who have been housed prior are coming in with the idea of helping others and giving them the support, the guidance that sometimes is desperately needed when we all start out in life and we're trying to move forward and get our next steps under us. We look around us. We begin our networks. We create social circles, and this is, in large part, a first way for people to find those social circles. If you've never been in a house, you've never owned a home, you've never done anything that doesn't create a challenge or an obstacle, you don't know where to begin. So people who are coming in that have had that experience can kind of come up alongside of you and say, hey, I know what you're going through. I know where you've been. Let me help you, please. The people that are willing to step in and help create that community for us, we've had overwhelming support from them. They are super excited. They want to move in yesterday. They want to be there right now because they see this as their way of giving back to the community and their way of potentially going back to where they began and remembering how difficult it was and helping other people step up.
So these folks, really, it's an expectation. They're coming into it knowing what they're getting into, and this is a way for them to give back, pay it forward.
Absolutely. People have very large hearts in this community. We're finding that out.
I know in previous conversations we talked about there would be a lot of services available to folks that are maybe a participant of this program, maybe folks that have some challenges with mental health or have needs in that area. Can you talk more about the plans around that?
Sure. So the integrated services are going to come into play when people are housed in the tiny homes, particularly for those who are coming in currently unhoused. We're not a temporary shelter. We are permanent housing. So when they're placed in a home, then they can take a step back and breathe for a little bit. They will get what I tend to refer to as the three S's: safety, stability, and security. If you're living on the streets or wherever you are that's not a home, you don't have any of those, and you are in survival mode, second by second by second. You don't know what's coming at you next. So when you have all of those things in place, then you can start to look forward without thinking that you're in a temporary shelter and you're going to have to move on again in another 30, 60 to 90 days. You're going to have the ability to take those next steps. Some of our services will include medical, dental, and mental health services, addiction treatment, help, job training and placement, furthering your education. If you didn't get your high school diploma, or you did and you want to go to college and you just don't know where to go next, these are all things that our local community partner organizations will be able to step in and help with. Each of our communities will be centered around a larger community center, and within that center, that's where our services will be provided.
I remember something you told me when we first met. You said that this work is heart aligning with community and community aligning with heart. It's everybody's chance to help solve an immediate problem with love, compassion, and civic duty. And you know, Linda, that really stuck with me and epitomizes the common good of our community. And that's exactly what this show is all about, is talking about what are the common things that build our commonwealth, and emphasis on the wealth. How has this been accepted by the community so far?
We have had such a tremendous outpouring of support. It's been a little overwhelming. We had our launch on May 28th, and we've been playing catch-up ever since because people want this to happen right now. Everybody wants to do their part. They want to know how can they help. We're so excited about it. We've had people stepping up that have been quiet up until now. We've had people come forward and say, I can do this. Can I do this? And of course, we're welcoming people with open arms. This is what it looks like. Our community has a beautiful spirit. Our community has a beautiful spirit and a beautiful heart. And to see, looking around at everything that we're seeing right now, people who are not in homes or are not safe, to have so many hundreds and hundreds of people come to us and say, what can I do, makes all of us at Sea Roots feel like this is going to be success with the heart.
Linda, what's your relationship like with the local government? Are they supportive of what you're trying to do?
For the most part, yes. We've been in talks with them for a little over a year now, discussing what this whole idea would look like and how it would come forward. With the particular zoning and application changes, and now with the addition of Prop 1 funding, as well as additional county, state, and federal funding, it's looking very positive for us. They are willing to work with us and help us cut through red tape that most likely does exist, and help us get to our goals just a little bit faster so that they can say that they're doing their part as well. They've been nothing but supportive.
So, Linda, for those of us that would like to get involved with what you're doing and help, that are passionate like you are about being compassionate for those in our community that are not as fortunate as we are, how can folks help you in your mission?
Volunteering. That's our biggest need right now. As I stated earlier, we definitely need help getting the word out, helping us with visibility, getting people on board, create a better understanding of what our mission is and how we intend to play that out. If people are interested in coming and helping with Stone Soup, again, it's the last Sunday of every month right here in Sculpture Plaza, between 805 and 915 Broadway, and it's at 1 o'clock those Sunday afternoons. And I just encourage people to come down and open up their hearts, sit down, talk with your neighbors. These are our neighbors. We can't ignore them. We have to notice them. We need to smile with them. We need to share a little bit of our lives and let them share a little bit of their lives as well.
Do you have any fundraisers coming up you'd like folks to know about?
We absolutely do. We have our first inaugural farm-to-table dinner fundraiser, and it is Sunday, October 1st, from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and it's being hosted by Pomeroy Living History Farm up in Yakult, and tickets are available on our Facebook page, on our event. If you go to facebook.com/Community Roots Collaborative, then you'll find our events listed there, and you'll see some of our major sponsors that have stepped forward to help us.
Any final thoughts today?
I want to encourage people to open up their minds and open up their hearts and help us to break the stigma and the stereotype of homelessness. It's not what everybody believes it to be. It is people of all ages, all religions, all backgrounds, all races. People are human beings at the end of the day, and we need to care about everybody. We need to have the compassion in our hearts, and we need to take care of those who can't quite take care of themselves right now, and we need to help them learn how to do that, and then they in turn can turn around and help others who are in their position, because then they will have the compassion as well, because they'll be safe, they'll be out of harm's way. We can't put them in a nice neat little box and wrap it up with a bow and put it in a corner closet. We need to rip that box open, and we need to let people know that everybody deserves to be treated with that same equal amount of compassion and heart and love. These are our brothers and sisters. We need to take care of everybody.
Linda Garcia, Executive Director of Community Roots Collaborative. The next fundraising event is on Sunday, October 1st. It's a farm-to-table dinner at Pomeroy Living History Farm in Yakult. More information is available on their Facebook page, Community Roots Collaborative. Linda, thanks so much for joining me today and telling us all about what you're doing to make our community a better place to live.
Thank you so much, Joe, for having me and giving me the opportunity to let the community know what our next steps are and what we plan to do. I hope everybody can come forward and help us.
A big shout out of gratitude to Music World, Clark County's one-stop shop for music, instrument sales, instrument repair, music lessons, band instrument rentals, sound system rentals, and more. With two store locations in Battleground and Hazeldale, full-time repair technicians, and a dedicated school rep. Music World, equipped to meet your musical needs. Find out more at musicworldstores.com.
Join KXRW, Vancouver's sister station to X-Ray FM, for a night of fundraising hosted by Ruby Ribbon and Cellar 55. Investigate their selection of wines while host, Jody Akers, shows the Ruby Ribbon clothing line, undergarments with built-in shapewear. The fundraiser will take place on Sunday, October 1st from 5 to 7 p.m. at Cellar 55, located at 1812 Washington Street in downtown Vancouver. More information available by calling 360-601-6601 or by visiting xray.fm/events. Like they say at Ruby Ribbon. Bye-bye, bra.
We like to get out into the community as much as we can. With many of you this summer, we attended Connect Fest at Heathen Estate. It was a great event and just a ton of fun. Everyone had a blast and made so many good connections. And just a few weeks ago, you may have seen our booth at the Peace and Justice Fair at Esser Short Park. At both of these events, we offered for folks to tell us why they were there and what they want to hear from local independent radio. Here's a taste of what folks had to tell us.
Name?
Carly.
So what would you like to hear on local community radio?
I would like to hear more about local businesses and helping the community.
Hi there, what's your name?
My name's Rachel Jenkins.
So Rachel, what would you like to hear about on community radio?
Well, I really want to hear about what's going on locally with people that I live next door to. So if anybody has their own business that they want to see our patronage at, and just to support them so that we can hear what's going on around town.
What do you want to hear on local community radio?
I'd actually like to hear more local music. And more live, live feeds of like events, local bands that are, playing in clubs or cafes around here. I think I think all the Pacific Northwest kind of doesn't get the notoriety it used to 20 years ago. And the bands really don't get the media focus that they should. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Local bands.
What's your name?
Linda Bard.
Linda, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
I think that for me, being married to a musician, I really appreciate hearing local bands, music that's kind of indigenous to the area. And I also like to hear about local issues from various, you know, political issues to just city government, because it really is important for people to be informed.
Hi, what's your name?
Pia Meyer.
So, Pia, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
Local governmental issues. What's important to the local community? What's happening?
Hi, Shannon. So, question for you. What do you want to hear on local community radio? What would you like to hear?
I would love to hear more about the things that are going on for the youth. The youth in our community. In other words, things that we can set up to set them up for success. Things for the future, almost like forecasting, right? Developing new programs, new ideas to solve some of the ongoing issues that our youth struggle with right now.
My name is Samantha.
Hi, Samantha. What would you like to hear on local community radio?
I think a little bit more of the local news and maybe what's going on with the current public school systems in our area. I think that it's important for parents to be aware of, like, when they're voting something in, what the actual effects are within their home schools.
Hi, and your name is?
My name is Lonnie Grass.
Hi, Lonnie. So, question for you. What would you like to hear on local community radio?
I'd love to hear inspirational stories. I like to hear about how people decide to do something that's out of their comfort zone or how they made something out of nothing. I want to hear inspiration.
Tell me your name.
I'm Amber.
Amber, so tell me, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
Oh, wow. Local community radio? Well, music, obviously, but I love to hear about community issues. I love women's studies issues, so anything that's kind of impactful for, like, the community and everything that's going on, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. So where do you listen to the radio, mostly?
In the car, for sure.
Hey, good. How are you? I'm Joe. Steve, nice to meet you.
Mike, nice to meet you.
So, Steve, tell me, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
I want to hear about cannabis. That's it. I want to hear about the great effects about cannabis. I want to hear about cannabis helping people. Just really anything around that. I also want to learn about my community, too, so a little bit of everything.
Hi, Joe. I'm Ashleen. Nice to meet you.
So what do you want to hear about on community radio?
Well, I work at the Herbary, so I'm very interested in how the cannabis industry is changing our community here in Vancouver. Lots of different things are coming through. We're getting a lot of money going back into the community because of the money that we're bringing in through the cannabis industry. So I just kind of like to see how cannabis is kind of infiltrating the community a little bit more.
My name is Stacy Yardley, and I'm with CSU Rising.
Great. So tell us a little bit more about that. What is that?
So CSU Rising, we're actually in pre-launch right now. We're launching officially September 16th. And what I work with women with autoimmune disease. I empower them to live consciously through self-love. And in that, we do heart, mind, body, and spirit. So we work together in those areas to bring them to an area of thriving in their life.
So autoimmune disease, that's kind of like lupus?
Yeah, lupus would be one autoimmune. There's hundreds of autoimmune diseases. And it can vary person to person. So it's really, I don't tell them what to do. We work together to work a plan that's going to work best for them. And then through that self-love, right? So it's all in that healing process.
Great. Awesome. So tell me, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
What do I want to hear on local community? I want to hear more growth-oriented material. So more empowering material for people, more mindfulness, leadership, those kind of things that will help people grow and be better people.
Rob.
Nice to meet you, Rob.
Good to meet you, Joe.
So tell me about your Silver Keys Media.
Silver Keys Media is a business my wife owns, where she helps people to unlock their story through video and photography and using media and communications to really tell people the story of their business. Really, in our society in this day and age, really what really helps people understand what you do as a business is the story you tell. And that's the first thing that not only they see, but it's the thing that really impacts and draws you in. And so Silver Keys Media helps businesses tell that story.
So tell me, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
So you should have asked when my wife was here a minute ago. It's super hard. On local community radio is, you know, here's an Silver Keys Media is an opportunity for businesses to share their story with the community and reach out and help to expand their business.
So you want to hear more stories?
More stories. Lots more stories, right?
Yeah.
Talking is good.
So on our local community radio, I would like to hear entertainment. I would like to hear local music. From our own hometown, I'd like them to be promoted. So maybe a program with a mix of nationally known artists and local bands from Vancouver would be great. Talk radio that tackles issues that are important to us here in Clark County on this side of the river, that would be amazing.
What's your name?
My name's Jessica Binkard.
Jessica, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
About all the community events. Especially this one tonight, Connect Fest.
So tell us about your booth here. What are you guys all about?
Well, I'm actually here as a volunteer. So I'm volunteering to help with Connect Fest. But I actually own a business called McMinnville Lovelocks, which is in McMinnville, Oregon. And what it is an art structure that my husband and our two sons built in our garage. And it holds locks a lot like a famous bridge in Paris.
Yes.
So the two things that are different is we asked permission and we also built it strong enough. So,
kind of important.
Yep, that is very important. Yeah. The other twist to it is that we give back to McMinnville High School Grad Night. So in doing so, we also work with students to make different items like this lovely bracelet here on my arm and hot dog and marshmallow sticks, paint your own pottery items, little boxes that are engraved by students that go out to a little piece of the private high school of McMinnville High School, which is at Evergreen Aviation Space Museum where the Spruce Goose is housed.
Yep.
So we have students who help with that. So all of it is just going in a circle, everyone helping everyone and giving back locally.
Hi, Joe. Nice to meet you.
So one question.
Okay.
So we're asking everybody, what do you want to hear on local community radio?
That's a good question. Probably local things that matter, but that's not depressing. There's enough depressing things out there. So, like, fun things.
Yes.
Things that are, you know, interesting and kind of maybe a little offbeat and kind of quirky.
You would like my show. It's called The Common Good.
Okay, I
and
like
it's,
it.
It's already. All about the good things going on in the community.
I already like it.
I'm exactly like you. There's enough going on that's negative. Yeah. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. Let's talk about the good stuff going on.
Yeah, let's be
so
positive.
One good thing that's going on is Dog Paw. Yeah. So tell me about that.
Well, Dog Paw is a nonprofit that runs all of the off-leash dog parks in Clark County. There are four of them, and there are no tax dollars that go to fund these dog parks. A lot of people think they do, and so they like to use them for free. We have about 7,000 people a week that use these dog parks. About 10% of those people use the parks or pay to help run the parks. So Dog Park Paw is a little bit in danger of kind of disappearing if we do not get more support from the community. And but we're getting there. We're getting there. We got a $100,000 campaign that we're doing, and we're got to about 60. So we're still got a ways to go, but we're catching up.
So the one that I take my dog to is over, I think they call it Pacific Park.
Yeah, so that's Dakota.
Dakota.
Yes.
What does it take to run a park like that?
Well,
ballpark.
A dog park, right now, to start up a dog park, back in the day, of course, it was, you know, $10,000 and some fencing. Now it's probably more like $100,000 at the very minimum, because you've got permitting that you have to pay to the county. You have to put in a parking lot. You have to put in fencing that is normally a little bit higher end. And then you have to put in trails and often water and different things like that. So by the time you're done, you're looking at about $100,000. And so a dog park in Clark County, we actually need two more. We lost one in Washougal, and we're actively looking. But in the process of all of that, we're also trying to save Dog Paw. So we got to keep our priorities straight. So it becomes a little difficult to put new dog parks in without trying to just save the ones we have. So that's our first priority. But we have plans in place, hopefully, that once we get dialed in to the next ones, then we'll be able to make that happen.
So what's your role with the organization?
I am their social media marketer and director and kind of general whatever that they need. And so we have a team of people that we've been brought on to try to help get the word out and bring awareness, because it was just a really it was just hard because everybody was out there trying to, you know, pull up weeds and mow, and they didn't have time to get on the social media and that kind of thing. So yeah, real passionate about it because I have a dog that I love taking to the dog park, and she's very happy to go chase balls. And since I live in downtown Vancouver on my little 5,000 square foot lot, she's not going very far on that. So we love to have the dog park stay. It's very valuable to us, and we Dog Paw partners with a lot of other organizations, including the canine organizations. All of our dog parks are named after fallen canines, and we help retired canines. We help to support those canines once they're retired for their medical bills so that the police officers are not burdened with that, and we also help buy new dogs when dogs are fall in the line of duty. So we like to give back as well. So there's a lot of good things that we are trying to just kind of connect with in our community. Yeah, we are very, we're blessed to have a lot of business partners. And as we bring more and more awareness, we've gotten more and more business. And that's our real goal, is to really connect with business partners and our just the people who use the dog parks. And, you know, it just gets better as people get involved.
It sounds like the big thing in your mission right now is to make people aware that, hey, this dog park is not funded by the city or the county. This is something that is funded privately.
Yeah, that's our big goal right now, is to get people just aware, and that awareness is happening. We're getting more and more people who are like, I didn't know, and they're signing up, they're becoming members, they're getting involved. And so we're just trying to get the organization to just kind of move forward and get some infrastructure so we can help all these people who are now flooding to us and get them into the right places for our organization to be able to utilize them in the best ways possible. So it's all good stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Hey guys, Jeff Angelo here at KXRW Radio Vancouver from Unfiltered Media. We are here at the Vancouver Peace and Justice Festival with Audriana Miller. Audrey, how's everything going today?
It's going wonderful. We've been here since 7:30 and people are already filing in. It's really exciting.
Now, the Peace and Justice Festival, what does that mean to you?
It means that we are able to develop and build a community of people who can come together and talk about the things that they care about, social justice issues, and it really is a spot for people to come together and learn how they can get involved with these issues. And I think that's just really what it means, is a spot, and we're being deliberate about the space that we're creating for people to come and talk about social justice.
So a forum for the whole community to talk about peace and justice and social equality and everything under the sun that makes us happy.
So much in Vancouver, but every year I think a lot of people look forward to this event.
Yeah, it's a great event. There's a lot of, so what are you guys doing down here? What are you guys giving away for free? What can I take away for free from you?
We've got a lot of stickers and buttons, of course, always. And we have a lot of voter registration forms. You could register to vote for free. Austin, our sex educator, has a lot of really great swag. Sunglasses with the Planned Parenthood logo. You can also play cornhole with us and do hula hoop too.
I play cornhole all the time. Okay, so moving right along, what's in the near future for Planned Parenthood?
We've got a lot of really great exciting events coming up, outreach events, so that people can get involved, learn more about what we do in our community, how many people we serve. We have a sex trivia coming up in September, and we have a pub crawl coming up in September. We finally have an opportunity to plan those exciting events, and a little bit less on the defense right now, so it's kind of exciting.
Very nice. Now, at a national level right now, we have the person in charge of this country. I don't always agree with the guy, and I've been very outspoken about that on an Unfiltered podcast and our radio show. Where are we at right now at a national level with Planned Parenthood?
Well, we're really concerned that we may see cuts to Planned Parenthood coming down the pipe through Title X funding. So that's the funding that the state government gets from the federal government so that we can provide birth control testing or birth control and pregnancy testing and sex education. All that money goes to just general health care services to the counties to provide it, and they choose to give it to Planned Parenthood in our county anyway. So we're worried that we're going to see cuts to that program that helps us provide these vital services in our community.
So it's important to stay involved at a local level with you guys. I'm trying to hear this through the conversation here. Seems to be an important overtone to our conversation. It's important to stay involved locally.
Oh, yeah. The healthcare battle, we don't really know what's going on with that, but there's always something new coming down the pipeline as far as attacks go, because our opponents are never going to rest. And locally, we need people involved in making certain that our legislators never forget that our community stands with Planned Parenthood.
All right, so tell us what the Peace and Justice Fair means to you.
There's a lot of different city events where we can kind of come together. Most of the people here are progressives and kind of come together and talk about those things. Most of these people were at Pride, but that was so specifically targeted that I think it's nice to have something where anybody that agrees with this can come here, because we spend so much time dividing ourselves and saying, well, we don't agree on this one specific point, so we can't work together. Like, you know, you've been fighting for the same things I've been fighting for, but you've been doing it from the inside, so you're establishment and I don't want to work with you. Or you're from the outside and you don't know what you're doing. And we spend so much time splitting ourselves up like that. I like something where it's so general. We can say, I believe in peace. I believe in justice. Everybody believes in those. Let's come together for just at least one day a year. And I appreciate that. Yeah, it makes me feel less lonely.
Why are you here at the Peace and Justice Fair?
To learn all of the different groups. You know, this is the first time the Sikh community has been out. And so she brought the group out, and I'm so excited there. And did you hear their song? That was wonderful.
I did. Oh, we've been recording it all morning.
A Prayer for Peace. Yeah. How can you go wrong with that?
Awesome.
But look at all of the joyfulness in this park today. How exciting. No, this is wonderful.
So the other question I'm asking is, so what do you want to hear on local community radio?
Oh, my gosh. We have so many different things. You know transportation. You know all of the different issues of the community. I think the events. I think there are still people in our community that didn't know about the Peace and Justice Fair yet. How long have we been doing this? Years. So how do we get that out to them to remind them of all the different events that happen at Ezra Short Park or at Marshall or at Columbia Tech Center? That's a great opportunity for the organizers to share what their purpose is.
Excellent.
So I'd love to see that. You have all the arts community. So Magenta Theater, the Vancouver Symphony. Have you talked to the conductor for the symphony? How wonderful. So he should have an opportunity.
So I'm here with David McDevitt. Hi, David.
How are you, Joe? Good to see you.
Good. So why are you at the Peace and Justice Fair?
Well, I'm at the Peace and Justice Fair because we need to create as much unity in our community with both Oregon and Washington, and to spread that message so that we can achieve things better and together.
So earlier today we were talking a little bit about a recent development by Congresswoman Herrera Butler around tolls, and you were telling me that you had a different idea around that. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. Let me recap on the current situation. In mid-July, the Oregon legislature passed their budget law, and in that budget law, they assigned a task to the newly to be created Transportation Commission in Oregon. And that task was to look at value pricing on I-205 and on I-5 from the border all the way to the intersection of I-5 and I-205 in South Oregon. Value pricing means a lot of things to different people, and there's no clear definition in that legislation that defines what that is. So Jamie had heard from some constituents and immediately reacted saying, I'm absolutely against tolls. Now, value pricing doesn't necessarily mean tolls. It could very well mean high occupancy vehicle lanes where people can pay extra, maybe what you might call an express lane that hasn't yet been even built. So the reaction has been negative at best and not one that's conducive to working with Oregon to find appropriate solutions. That law was passed, and the deadline for the Oregon Transportation Commission is December 2018 to come back with some recommendations to the legislature in Oregon. Nothing's been done yet. Nobody has made any specific proposals. The specific identification of the boundaries of where they're thinking has been identified, but that's not specific in the overall scheme of things. So, I have different ideas about that. Now, Jamie has now, at this point, infused an amendment, to a Department of Interior budget at the federal level, prohibiting both the states of Oregon or the states of Washington from implementing or exercising the ability to have tolls anywhere on 205 or I-5, which is severely limiting to both states, undermining the Oregon state budget law, which I think is detrimental, but it's detrimental because it creates a bigger divide between Oregon and Washington in trying to solve our gridlock problem, which is the stated goal and objective of the Oregon State Legislature when they put in this recommendation. My thoughts have been and continue to be one focused on creating a bi-state congressionally authorized joint powers authority, much like that authorized by Congress in 1921 for the states of New York and New Jersey, so 97 years ago, and it's worked well for 97 years. We have precedent, and it works well, and we need that here in Washington and in Oregon. We need it to go from the border with Idaho all the way to the ocean at Astoria and Ilwaco. And we need to have that bi-state authorized joint powers authority so that we can solve all of our transportation and infrastructure needs, whether they involve roads and federal highways, whether they involve mass rapid transit vehicles, whether they involve light rail, whether they involve taxi services between the two states, going from, say, Vancouver over to the Oregon's Portland Airport. But whatever it is, we need to have better solutions, and we need to work together as a community. And unfortunately, for the last many years, we've had over 50 years of experience trying to solve some of these transportation initiatives and gotten nowhere quickly. We have a matter of urgency, and the urgency has to do with the fact that Clark County is expected to grow over the next 10 to 15 years by 150,000 people, as estimated by the Regional Transportation Commission and some of the resources that they rely on. I believe that that number, 150,000 people, is too low. I think we're more likely to see 250,000 people, or maybe even more. So we need to be looking at ways to improve our transportation commission and transportation systems. We need to look at ways of how we're going to deal with demands for water and water resources, how we're going to deal with electricity and electricity resources, and how we're going to deal with gas, natural gas, and natural gas resources. We've got our challenges as a community, and we need to address them, and we need to step up with a sense of urgency so that we're not letting anything slip by. Jamie's approach is one of putting a stick in the ground and saying, we're not going to move, and we're not going to pay any tolls. And one of the things I said to somebody earlier today was, look, if the gridlock gets really bad, you can spend an hour in the traffic, in bumper-to-bumper traffic. You can just sit there and absolutely be able to do nothing. And you will lose 1 hour of your wages. If it's $15 an hour, you're losing $15 an hour. And you're willing to sacrifice not paying a $2 toll, but sit in traffic for an hour and lose $15. I think you need to relook at your priorities in a different way. Then I think establishing a bi-state committee a bi-state organization that handles the entire metropolitan planning area for regional transportation is the appropriate way to go for a number of reasons, and primarily that because Oregon and Multnomah, Washington, and Clackamas counties have the population relative to Clark County, Clark County has always gotten the short shift. And I think by having a bi-state joint powers authority, we would have equal number of seats for Washington State and for Oregon to achieve our common objectives and our common goals.
What does David McDevitt want to hear on local community radio?
You know, I want to hear all about the kinds of solutions that are possible and the ways that people are coming together and unifying in creating community. And frankly, this event, the Peace and Justice Fair annually, has been growing, and every year we're growing in the way of inclusiveness for multiple religions, for recognition of different racial groups, for different ideologies, and coming together and celebrating our diversity. And I believe strongly that when we work together and unify in diversity, we create a safer, better world for all of us.
That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank my guest, Linda Garcia, from Community Roots Collaborative, for being on the show. I also want to give a huge shout-out of gratitude to my friends Susan and Manuel Galaviz, Mike D'Alessandro, Jeff Angelo, Erica Wirth, and Mike Seelig for coming out to help with events at ConnectFest and the Peace and Justice Fair. And a special thank you, too, to all of you who participated and told us what you want to hear from us. If you see us at a future event, please stop by and tell us what you want to hear on your community radio station. For all of the volunteers and supporters who make this community radio possible, this is Joe Clemens, and I want to say thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again right here on The Common Good.
KXRW is brought to you by the generous support of Beacock Music, family-owned and operated since 1976. Beacock Music is your source for an extraordinary selection of products, experts, and a fun environment. Find out more at beacockmusic.com or call them directly at 360-694-7134. Beacock Music, they're here, they're dedicated, they love what they do, and they make music happen.
KXRW is brought to you by the generous support of Hosley Eco Automotive. Hosley Eco is your source for fast, friendly, and honest service. Hybrid and electric car qualified and home of the 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Find out more at HosleyEcoAutomotive.com.
Many thanks to KXRW supporter Adco Printing and Graphics. Owner Bill Dickey and his friendly staff have been serving the Vancouver community since 1995. They offer all the services you'd expect from a commercial printing and sign shop, combined with the personal attention to detail and the integrity of a local vendor. After all, great printing is strategy with creativity. Adco Printing and Graphics, located at 353 Grand Boulevard in Vancouver. Find out more at adco1.com. That's ABC.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. I left my home and my family. I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, when scared, laying low, seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. By-la-la-la, la 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 la. Asking only workmen's wages.
years I've come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la.